Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come here this morning and just look into your word and, Lord, hear from you. And I just pray that your hand would be upon the message, the service, and that you would just speak to us, Lord. I pray that I'd only share things of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we thank you this morning. And we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to look this morning, Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So many times, you know, we just hear lots of stuff and read things in the Bible and hear sermons and you know, look to the Lord and just have a question like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Well, this is kind of what we're going to talk this morning about. What am I supposed to do? As we've looked at just kind of, you know, we've taken some highlights in Romans, looking at Romans chapter 8 in particular. And so we see what the Lord is communicating of who we are. And who we are as people and what God's called us to be. And like last week we looked at and said, we are more than conquerors. Okay, that's God's view of us. I mean, it may not be a view of ourselves, but that's God's view of us. We are more than conquerors. And so you have in the first 11 chapters of Romans this detailed explanation of who we are, specifically Romans chapter 1 through 8, you know, which ending up like we are more than conquerors. So we're grasping the whole thing. Then he gets to Romans chapter 12 here, and it's very interesting how the Apostle Paul says this. He goes, therefore, now that you have Romans chapter 1 through 11, therefore you have Romans chapter 1 through 8, therefore I appeal to you. Now, what's interesting, the word I appeal to you, and it can be I beseech you, I urge you, and there in the original language, there's somewhat authority with it. I appeal to you. Would you clean up to your room? I appeal to you. You know, I mean, there's some authority behind it, and that's what the Apostle Paul is doing. He says, I appeal to you. And what he's saying, he says, you know, I'm done teaching. You know, I mean, you got it. I appeal to you now to do something. And he says this, by the mercies of God, which we heard in the first 11 chapters, as you've read that, by the mercies of God he's presented to you, now present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, some say, or your spiritual worship. In those verses, they, in the original, they have a problem of figuring out where it falls. Reasonable service or spiritual worship, because it has the idea of ministering to it, you know. So it's all tied together. So he's appealing to us, beseeching us, based on what we know, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, we could look at the thing about sacrifices, living sacrifices, and we know what a sacrifice is. But when you look at Scripture, what is he saying? Present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, in the Bible, and for the Apostle Paul, it's very closely tied to the Jewish sacrificial system. I mean, it's a good word, and he could just pull it out of the air, and we could go with it. But for him, there was more depth to it. He had in his mind the Old Testament sacrificial system. So that's in his mind when he's talking about a sacrifice. So when we look at Paul urging us to be a living sacrifice, I think to start with, we need to look at, you know, what was an Old Testament sacrifice? What was the Old Testament sacrifice? And if we understand the meaning of an Old Testament sacrifice, it'll help us understand what he's calling us to be is a New Testament living sacrifice, okay? So you want to bear with me as I just picked out one sacrifice, okay? And you have, like, if you want to get the whole bunch of sacrifices, you read the book of Leviticus. Just a blast if you want to read through. Lots of blood and lots of sacrifices, you know? So you can read the book of Leviticus. So I just took one, but I want to just read that section in the Old Testament, the Old Testament law. Now, I'll read that. What a sacrifice was. What a sacrifice was. Old Testament sacrifice. All right? So it starts off like this. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3. It says, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. Now, just a little information. You could offer bulls. You could offer sheep. You know, so they would sacrifice these animals. Also, as a little footnote, you should just, if you ever are possessed to read through the book of Leviticus, you see statements in here that says she'll offer a male without blemish. Now, that's really important. It's important it's a male, and it's important it's out without blemish, because the sacrifices are a picture of the coming Messiah. That's the reason it's a male, and that's the reason it's without blemish. So just a little note there that it wasn't just, hey, we got a bunch of animals, you can just offer one up. There's a whole picture that the Lord is unfolding in this sacrificial system. And so you go, we can make a detour there, but we won't, because it doesn't fit in with this morning's message, all right? But you should note that when you see those things, there is a reason. There is a reason. You know, there. So you bring this sacrifice from the herd. This case, it's a bull. Could be a sheep. In fact, if you read the next section, it is a sheep. So you take this burnt offering from the herd, and so you offer this sacrifice without blemish. Now, in the whole sacrificial system, as the Israelites were coming in through the desert, and when they finally built the temple, what you did, you always brought the sacrifices to the temple. God says, I will meet with you in this temple. All right, in the Old Testament tabernacle or in the Old Testament temple that he finally built, you would bring the sacrifices to the temple where you would meet with God. So those sacrifices were offered in one place. It specifically says they're only offered in one place, and it's before the temple, at the entrance of the temple where they meet with God. All right, so here we go. He shall bring this sacrifice to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Okay, that's where you bring it. So that's something we know. It's a sacrifice that he brings to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hands on the head of the burnt offering, passing his sin to the burnt offering, figuratively, and it shall be accepted to make atonement for him. Now he's accepted. He laid his hands on the burnt offering, signifying passing his sin to the burnt offering, and they kill it. Okay? It dies in his place, if you will, so that he receives atonement. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord. He kills the bull where? Before the Lord. He kills the bull before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall take the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar at the entrance of the tent of meeting. All right. The pathway into the tent of meeting is blood. His blood. Then he shall flay the burnt offering, cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange the wood on the fire. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat and the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and legs they shall wash with water before they put them on the fire. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, as a food offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Lordy be. Yeah. Now, and then you can just read through Leviticus and he do it again and again and again and again. And it's like, What is going on here? What is going on here? It's a picture of what Christ will ultimately do for us. He is the end of all sacrifices. He is the end of all sacrifices. So, but it's a picture. While the blood and while that, burning upon the fire, because that's what Jesus did for us. He finished it. See, so a Jewish mindset goes, man, that what Christ did was something else, because they had the picture in the mind. It all tied together, and that's what God did. He tied it all together. Now, so let's look. Summarize the Old Testament sacrifice, because you understand that, we'll look at the living sacrifice. It was presented, number one, it was presented at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. Number two, it was killed before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Number three, the blood was thrown against the sides of the altar at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The Bible also says this, which is important in Leviticus 17:11, says the life is in the blood. So what happened? They threw the blood against the altar. What? They threw the life against the altar to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all of it was burned on the altar at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Something about sacrifices, they are 100% totally consumed. They consume the entire sacrifice. So that's important to know. And then this sacrifice is pleasing. And a pleasing smell to the Lord. The Lord just took a big whiff. It's pleasing. We'll just go back to Jesus a minute. He just took a big whiff. What Jesus did is pleasing to him in an Old Testament way. Same thing happened in the New Testament way for the people that came to him. Okay, we got the picture. Then Paul says, this is very much in his mind. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees, he called himself, before he came to know the Lord. He is very much tied into the Jewish system, the sacrificial system. Very keen of what it is. He understands that fully. And so he makes this statement. I want you to be a living sacrifice. Well, let's just make an application what a living sacrifice would look like based on the Old Testament sacrifice. It said, present yourself to the presence of God. When you do the sacrifice, you present the body, the bull, the lamb, to the tent of meeting. You take the body. And Paul is saying, present yourself to the presence of God. There's no Old Testament temple to go to. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we are to present ourselves to the presence of the God. That's what happened at the sacrificial system. They presented the sacrifice at the temple. Number two, the sacrifice, it died. It was killed. And so what you do this, and to understand we're a living sacrifice, we're supposed to be physically alive, but what we do, we die to our independence of God. We die to our selfishness. We die to our self-serving. And so what it is, we die to our independence of God. Now we are dedicated totally to what God has. That's what the sacrifices were. They were dedicated to God before the tent of meeting. So when we see that they were killed, there's no self-initiative to a dead animal. When we die before the Lord, there's no self-initiative. We are serving the Lord now. We in our heart have given ourselves to him. Then that goes to number three. It says, give your life wholly. So the blood was sprinkled all over the altar. And when you look at the Old Testament system, blood cleansed everything. They sprinkled blood over everything in the temple. The blood is the life. The blood represents the life of Christ in the New Testament sense. So we are cleansed by Christ. Everything in the Old Testament was cleansed by Christ. They spread blood all over that. Aren't you glad Jesus came? We don't have to do that anymore. But the whole thing is, it's evidence of the life given. It's spread, it's sprinkled all over the presence of where we meet with God. It's a life, it represents a life totally given. Body, heart, mind, soul is given to God. Then it says this. He could say, too, you died, you were killed, you died to independence from God. That's turn from. Then you give your life wholly to him, you turn to. You turn from the independence and you of God and you turn to the dependence of God. That's what a living sacrifice does. And then you go on and see this. Catch fire. Catch on fire. And be consumed with the love of God. catch on fire and be consumed. What happened with the sacrifice? Burned it up. They burned the whole thing up. Now, there were, as you go through, there's different things that they did with the sacrifice. Some of it went to priests, sorts of stuff. We won't get into that. But one way or the other, it's totally consumed. Nothing was left over. Nothing's left over. So you have this sacrifice. What it is totally 100% consumed. It is consumed. And so the message to us is catch fire and be consumed. Catch fire. Holy Spirit, many times referred to, you see it, is this fire. We're to catch fire for God and be consumed with God, for the love of God. Now, just with that thought, if we catch fire and are consumed with the love of God, it impacts our decisions. Impacts our decisions. You know, sometimes, and we'll talk about this a little later on, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? And you got these options, and, you know, it's confusing. I don't know how to proceed. And you can, you know, like, catch fire, be consumed from God. And a lot of options fall away. As soon as you catch fire and are consumed from God, then the decisions become a little more clear. Because God is saying, I want you, I want your whole heart. And then the other things that are taking away from that will fall away. But they fall away because you're on fire for God. And we're confused by a lot of other stuff because we're not on fire for God. We're confused. It's amazing. Being on fire for God will clarify a lot of our decisions. Then it says this. When you are consumed with the love of God, focus on the love of God, your whole heart, it's like we're a sweet smell to God. God just takes a whiff of that. That smells good. That smells good. That living sacrifice, God says, that smells good. You know, don't you want to smell good to God? Don't you want to smell good to God? So we're a sweet smell, a pleasing aroma to God. God wants to take a whiff of you and what you're doing, and he wants to, gosh, that smells good. Man, what they're doing smells good, and they smell good. Now, you'll remember that, won't you? Make you want to take a shower. Oh, that smells good. So the picture here, and again, we put this in context with what God is saying, and you have all that theology, some of it quite complicated, in Romans chapter 1 through 11. And it ends, you know, what we ended with last week. You are more than conquerors. So he said, who we are. Then he's just kind of going, okay, that's who you are. Just catch fire now and smell good for me. That's what you do. That's what I want you to do. See, and then the individual decisions will fall into place. And it's not the individual decisions that God is so much looking for. He is looking for those people that are catching fire for him and that just smell good. See? And the things fall into place. Now, so, just that, when he just kind of a cast, I urge you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. He comes down to the vessel to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's pleasing, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Oh, it just smells good, and that's the spiritual worship. Catch on fire and smell good, and that's your spiritual worship, you know. So now, so we look at that. So that's a living sacrifice. What I like to do now is we process, and you can see it's our heart issue. It's a heart issue. A heart issue. I want to look at three verses, and I will bring out 3 points, kind of that we've gone over with these living sacrifices. But it's something that we can look at in a different letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Okay, but again, he highlights these same points again in a different way of what a living sacrifice is. He's telling us something in a different letter of what these living sacrifices are. And again, it should impact our behavior. Because of where our heart is, it impacts our behavior. So listen, the first one we'll look at is 2 Corinthians 5:15. 2 Corinthians 5:15. A living sacrifice lives for Jesus. These sacrifices were brought to the entrance of the tent of meeting, or they were brought to the temple. All right? So we don't have a temple. We don't have a tabernacle. So where do we bring our living sacrifices? We bring them before the Lord. We bring them before Jesus. So we are the living sacrifice that comes before Jesus wherever we are, in whatever we're doing. So a living sacrifice lives for Jesus. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15. Jesus died for all. Everybody goes, amen? He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins, all right? Jesus died for all so that those who live, who's living? Those who live, we're alive. He died for us, but those who are alive, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Jesus, who died for their sake and was raised. The point is, God's going, the point is, the Apostle Paul's going, the point is, Jesus died. He died so that all who live. We're left here to live. We're to live as living sacrifices brought before the tent of meeting, brought before his presence. And I mean, that we'd no longer live for ourselves. There it is. I mean, the whole point is like, you're mine. I died so that you're mine. And since you're mine, I don't want you to live for yourselves. I want you to live for me because you're mine. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. You've got all this information. I beseech you, I urge you, clean your room. No, I mean, I serve me. I pass that on to the mothers and fathers trying to get their children to do something. That is what God's doing. He's trying to get them to do something. Don't you know? Can't you see? Now, so number one, living sacrifices live for Jesus. Number two, I love this. Now, this is New Testament. All right, we had in the Old Testament, sweet aroma. That sacrifice is just a sweet aroma to God. Here in the New Testament, we have living sacrifices smell good to God. I'm into this smelling good for God, all right? You smell good for God. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are the aroma of Christ. Now, what did those Old Testament sacrifices represent? I told you, Christ. They represent, there's a picture. All the Old Testament sacrifices are a picture of Christ. And so Christ is the fulfillment of those sacrifices. So those sacrifices says, we are that sacrifice, therefore we are an aroma of Christ to God. God said, oh man, you smell good. Oh, you smell good. Because we're aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Now, the verse goes on. It's fascinating. It goes on to say, it says we're aroma to some to life. And we're aroma of others to death. You ever understand why just being a Christian irritates people? All right? Because you smell like Jesus. And they don't have Jesus. And you're a smell of death to them. You're a smell of death. You're walking around smelling things up. But you're supposed to. You're supposed to walk around smelling things up. See? And Jesus is happy the way you smell. But the people that don't have Jesus are not too happy the way you smell. That's the reason that probably the only legally persecuted minority in the world is Christians. You know, because everybody else don't think we smell that good. Because we're convicting. Just for walking around. Just walking around. But to God, we're a sweet smell. Just like that sacrifice before the tent. We're a sweet smell. Don't you think? Love that. So there's the whole picture that we are aroma of Christ. We're aroma of Christ. So, living sacrifice lives for Jesus. Living sacrifice is a sweet smell to God. And here's number three. And this is, to me, is fascinating when you look at everything together. But a living sacrifice is the logical and reasonable act of spiritual service and worship. It's the logical act. To be a living sacrifice is the logical thing to do. Now, what has Paul done? He's explained to us in Romans 1 through 11, okay? Especially 1 through 8. And we're more than conquerors. He said, you got in all the information. You got enough information. You read enough books. You studied enough. You got it all together. Therefore, I appeal to you. I am done teaching. The logic is, here is the logic. Smell good to Jesus. Live for him. It's the only logical thing. If you understand what's being said in the scripture, the only logical thing is to be a living sacrifice. That's the logic. That's where you go. And it's illogical not to be a living sacrifice. You're not understanding the picture. You're not understanding what God did if you are not desiring to be a living sacrifice. Amen? That's what he's saying. Now, look what he says in this verse, which is just fascinating, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Or do you not know? See, I always like statements like that. Or do you not know? Meaning, don't you know? Meaning, you don't know, do you? Okay. Or do you not know that your body... Wait a minute. What are we supposed to bring as a living sacrifice? Our body. I mean, he took it, you know, pinch your chick. This is it. Right there. Bring your body. You grab your little child by the ear, take him to his bedroom. In the room, your body, and do something. Okay, the picture is, or do you not know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit? God's living within you. Your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. Now, what did it say before? He lived so you won't live to yourself. He says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. What was the price you were bought with? Jesus. He paid the price. He went to the cross. He died in your place. He goes, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to me. Don't live to yourself. Live for Jesus. Smell good for me. Bought with a price. Then it says this, so glorify God in your body. In your body. That means, how do you glorify God in your body? You know, I mean, we can walk around and smell good, all right? Just walk around and glorify God in your body. The physical is to move around this earth to glorify God. And it says we are the temple. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. And so the body is to glorify God. We go back to Romans. You present the body in the presence of God is a living sacrifice. To glorify God in our body. In our body. That's what we are to do. Wherever we go. You know, you go to the store. Take kids someplace. You're doing this. You're to glorify God in your body. You're to take the presence of Christ wherever you go, and you're a representative of Christ wherever you go. It's like we come here together as believers, and so we rejoice. And it says we should do. It says forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because there's encouragement. All right, here. That is an encouragement, but the important thing is you leave out and you represent Christ wherever you go. And how many people that you spend a lot of time with don't know you're a Christian? Okay, if you ain't smelling good, you just ain't smelling good, right? I mean, if you smell good, they're going to know you're a Christian. They're going to know. I mean, you know, you have to point the finger. You don't have to preach to them. But you need to smell good. I love Jesus. You know, I'm serving the Lord. He's important in my life. He is who I belong to. We need to smell good. We need to be aroma to everybody. Aroma. Some people it's aroma to death. Some people it's aroma to life. But we are to be aroma. There's not any question of that. And that is the logical conclusion. Logic. Just logic. If you understand the first 11 chapters. You're more than conquerors, we saw in chapter 8. But they want to smell good. They smell good. Now, so here we look at this. We present our bodies as living sacrifices in the midst of a corrupt world. God did that on purpose. He did it on purpose. The world is a mess. What is he going to do with this mess? I mean, he probably has a bunch of options, don't you think? Now, when we have a future end times option, when he's going to come, he's going to wipe everything out. Okay, done. But in the meantime, in this corrupt world, he has put believers all in it that are to be living sacrifices. They're supposed to smell good. They're supposed to smell good in this corrupt world. In this corrupt world. That's what he's done. Your mind, you bought with a price. You're not your own. Live for Jesus. Now, when we look at this, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, there is an element of reading the scripture. There's an element of presenting things, of telling people what to do. There's a good element of teaching, telling people what to do. However, if I tell you what to do, it's just kind of going to get irritated at me. All right? You're just like, well, I don't know. I'm not. Why is he telling me this? Now, what is he doing? You know? I mean, so I'm going to compare myself to him. You know? It's just, I bet I'm doing more than he is. So, and then also, if I can convince you to do something, somebody else can convince you not to do it. See? I mean, there's just that element of where it's not a good thing to tell someone to do. You ever tell someone something to do and they do it and don't work out? And then they blame you for it. You know? There's just so many things go wrong with that. Now, there is, as we come together Christians and we discuss things and situations come up and we want to know what the Lord does, we point people to the scriptures, we walk with people, and the church is to counsel one another, and it's to counsel others together around to help clarify things. But bottom line, a person has to make a decision from within. From within. And so when it says to be a living sacrifice, what each of us have to do and what the scripture said, we got to go, Abba Father. Abba Father. And the Holy Spirit will tell us what to do. Now, if we're of a pure heart, and I mean of a pure heart before the Lord, that we're really open before the Lord, and we cry, Abba Father, the Holy Spirit will tell us what to do. Okay, now again, there's counsel of the saints, and there's information. Everybody has different gifts, and it's good to receive that counsel. But individually, for you or for someone else, you say, listen, you have to go before the Lord. Say, Abba, Father, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Now, is a living sacrifice what we say, all right, here's the information. Now catch on fire and smell good for God. See? That's what we're saying. That's how you get your direction. That's how you understand. Catch on fire and smell good for God. Then it impacts your decisions. It impacts the thing you do, things you do. And it's between you and God. It's between you and God. And God. Like if you go before the Lord and the Lord has this conversation, and he does, says we'll be accountable, and And he's going to talk to you if you're before the throne. Do you think he's going, well, now, did you do everything Wallace told you to? Do you think he's going to ask that? No, he's not. You ought to think, that's the nuttiest thing I ever heard in my life, all right? No, he's not going to ask you. What is he going to ask you? Why didn't you do what I told you to do? You know, why didn't you come before me, even ask me what I was to do? And when I told you what to do, why didn't you do what I said you to do? So the point of it is right here, is that God says, they cry, Abba Father, and I will tell you what to do. So when you share something, you get to tell people what the Lord is doing and give them information the best possible. You turn them back to the Lord and say, okay, God, now you ask. The Lord's going to tell you what to do. The Lord's going to show you what to do. Amen? So the whole thing is, put the intensity behind it. Catch fire and smell good for God. Okay, go before the Lord, hear the Holy Spirit, and move as he prompts him. But let's do the living sacrifice. Catch fire, smell good for God. Is what God telling you, are you catching fire for him and smelling good for him? Bottom line, when you get through that one thing, when it ends, are you smelling good for him? Amen? I mean, it helps us to process it. Helps us to process what God is telling us to do. And when we serve ourselves, and that's always a challenge, all right? Right? Because we kind of can convince ourselves that we're right and what we need, everybody else should understand. I mean, we can do that. We've all done that. Or am I the only one that's done that? But it's like, no, I don't want to serve myself before the Lord. I want to do what you say, God. I want to catch fire for you. I want to be a good smell to you. And when I come out of this situation, I just want to know that I smelled good for you. See, that goes to the heart, doesn't it? Oh, I want to know as I walk through this, that when I come out, oh, I smelled good to you in this. Amen? That's a personal thing. That's a personal thing. Now, so let's just kind of just pull some things about smelling good. Okay? I mean, how do you, I was looking for an overhead, like smelling good for God. You know how hard those are to find? You know, I mean, I just couldn't find it. But I found this one. I thought it was neat. You get the picture, okay? Smelling good. You got these two young ladies smelling this flower. And they say, oh, it smells good. So you can make the picture. Just smell good. I mean, that's what God's saying. Smell good for me. Smell good for me. And here's some things to think about. When you're alone and no one knows what you're doing, catch on fire and smell good for God. When you're alone. See? I had someone tell me, you know, you hear, what's this crazy saying? Forgive me. It's like, what's done in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. That ain't so. No, you're in Las Vegas, you catch on fire and you smell good for God. Okay? I just want you to know Jesus is there. You know? Just want you to know, all right? It's going to come back. It's going to come back, all right? He's there. When you're alone and nobody else is around, you won't catch fire. You won't smell good to God when you're alone. When you're alone. See, and that's a real heart check, isn't it? Real heart check. When no one understands you. No one understands it. You catch on fire, smell good for God. Let him take care of it. How about when everything goes wrong? I did everything I was supposed to do. Everything's going wrong. Lord, catch on fire and smell good for God. All right. Don't serve yourself. You bought with a price. You're not your own. Catch on fire, smell good for God. When people question your beliefs, catch on fire, smell good for God. Hey, it's you and Jesus. You're the ones going to have to stand before the Lord, not them. They're going to say them for something else. You're just like, all right, God, best I know. At work, you go to work, you got an impossible boss, you got impossible employees, you got an impossible everybody. What are you to do with all these lost people that don't know Jesus? You know. Catch on fire and smell good for God. Gosh, now smell good for God in this situation. How am I going to do that? Abba Father, give me a word. This is nuts. This is nuts. Catch on fire. Smell good for God. You have difficult decisions. I don't know what to do. Which is a clue that God's not in it. That's a clue. Because he's not a God of confusion. I don't know what to do. See, he probably ain't in it. But if you catch on fire, smell good for God, then all of a sudden the decisions clarify. All right, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. Okay, I didn't say it'd be easy. I'm just saying, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. See, there's two prayers. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me do this. Oh, my gosh. See, two prayers. But see, you catch on fire. You smell good for God in difficult decisions. Am I going to smell before the Lord? They say, that was good. You stood for me on that. When someone lies about you or misrepresents you, ooh. When somebody lies about you or misrepresents you, you catch on fire, smell good to God. Okay, Lord. Oh, I'm going to catch on fire, smack them. All right, God. Catch on fire, smell good to God. Amen? See, that's what the Lord is saying. But it's a realization. Okay, we have that. You're more than conquerors, but you got to get in step. You got to get in step. Now here, when you're young, you know, you get young. Adolescents, young adults, you know, all this stuff. Catch on fire. Smell good to God in whatever you're going through in this crazy world, crazy world. Have little bitty children. I'm going to do these kids. Catch on fire and smell good to God. Don't drown them. Don't. Catch on fire. Smell good to God. See? Amen. How about when you're old and gray? You're old and gray. Catch on fire and smell good for God. You know what's really sad? Seeing old, bitter Christian. Old, bitter Christian. See? It just didn't work out the way I thought it. Just you old, bitter. No, you're old, gray. Oh, catch on fire. Be a sweet smell to God. There's actually a verse for that, that God says, you know, that the gray hair is an honor to God. If they catch on fire, they catch on fire and they're sweet smell to God. Amen? See, all that process, you can summarize it in this. Whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. God never asks you to be lukewarm about anything. He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities to do it with your whole heart. Whatever you do, catch on fire and smell good to God. All right. Now, I love it. Everybody come in here and you catch on fire and smell good to God. Y'all are smell good to me. I love it, you know. But when you leave here, it's in your job, in your school, in your family, you know, everything you approach, that you are representing Christ. And how do I represent Christ? Catch on fire and smell good for God in whatever the situation is. The principle, amen? See, and that's what God is telling us. And then we walk through this world as a sweet-smelling aroma. We're a sweet-smelling aroma, and God will give us opportunities. And now, okay, say something convicting. Come for me. There's no one in your relationships that shouldn't know that you're a Christian. Something wrong. There's just something wrong there. You know. You break the ice. I'm a Christian, by the way. Now we can just move on. Do something. You know, at least that, you know, stir things up. Don't. There's got to be an interaction as we go out into the world. Because it says as we move into this corrupt world. In this corrupt world. And so God wants us to know. Now, so I'm going to leave it with this. Wrap it up. I ask at the beginning, what am I supposed to do? And that's what we ask. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And the answer is, I want your whole heart. That's what the answer. God says, I want your whole heart. The specifics are too many to get into. And there's going to be variable answers, and there's going to be different answers for different people on the specifics of what you're to do. Now, I'm not talking about moral issues or sin, but you can't, it's too wide a range of things. And so you have to do it with your whole heart before the Lord. So what are you supposed to do? And just put it like this, and just walk away with this. You're supposed, and we know the context, catch on fire and smell good for God. That's what you're supposed to do. Take that. Now put a little subtitle. Live like God is alive. Live like God is alive. That's what. Catch on fire, smell good for God. Live like God is alive. We're betting our eternal security that He is. We're betting our eternal security. Then we ought to live like He's alive right now. You know, if we're going to bet our eternal security on Him. Amen. And then this closes like this. It just all makes perfect sense. We look at John 3:16. By the mercies of God, catch on fire, smell good for God. It's a lonely, logical conclusion. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So it's the only logical conclusion. We're here in Northern Virginia, well-educated, logical people. For well-educated, logical people, the only logic that there is to be a living sacrifice for God. It's the only logic. It's totally illogical if we do anything else. Wherever you go. Wherever you go, you have that click in your mind. Abba, Father, click in your mind. Catch on fire. Smell good for God. And the things will clarify. And you'll start moving. Every situation, live like God is alive. Every situation, it'll start clarifying. See? Yeah, amen. And then God smelled pleased. He said, oh man, that smells good. Amen. Why don't we stand and we just give praise God. And we'll have a prophetic team. Come on, encourage you to come up and be ministered to prophetically. And here's an opportunity to hear from the Lord to those that are gifted prophetically and to speak into, you know, pieces of the puzzle, to speak into your life. And it's a powerful time. So I encourage you to participate in the prophetic ministry and hear a word from the Lord from these gifted people. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your love. God, you know, what You've done for us is overwhelming. And You summarize it. You just summarize, we are more than conquerors. That's what You call us. You call us that. We are more than conquerors. And then You just beg us, urge us, be a living sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. That's Your reasonable worship. It's your reasonable worship. Name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.